Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Ninth Symphony was rudely interrupted this week when a cell phone started ringing at a particularly quiet moment of the symphony. The phone did not stop, but the music did at the New York Philharmonic at Avery Fisher Hall. Music director Alan Gilbert halted the orchestra mid-symphony after the patron appeared to ignore pleas to turn off the phone. And this has set off some spirited discussions over how both sides reacted. Turns out that WQXR's afternoon host, Naomi Lewin, and WQXR is our sister station that's all classical. She was in the audience that night, and she joins us for a moment as your calls are coming in about any performance that you have ever seen actually stopped. It is the rarest thing, Naomi, right? The show must go on.
The show must definitely go on.
And once in a blue moon, they stop.
Yes, well, I was going to say that Mahler didn't sound quite the same without that little marimba ringtone in there. Yes, usually the show goes on, but in this case, Alan Gilbert, and I think he was absolutely right, because it was such a mood that is created by the finale of the symphony with exquisitely soft passages, and it was impossible for him to go on. And that was the reason why I wrote the blog post that I wrote, because our web people said to me, you know, he's being vilified out there by some people in the blogosphere and Twitter sphere for having had the ego to stop the performance. And as far as I was concerned, he had no other choice.
And what was the buzz among the audience members who you spoke to afterwards? Were people, I heard that people were booing him, but that was probably a handful
booing
of
whom?
People.
Whom?
The
no.
conductor?
Were no, they? No. As not that I heard. I don't think any. I think there were some mixed reactions, because I did talk to somebody else I met in the audience, a couple I knew who I met in the audience afterwards, and apparently they were divided as to what should have happened. But as far as I can tell from the people around me and the reaction that I saw, Alan Gilbert got wild applause for having stopped the performance, and then there was an immediate ovation after the performance for the performance and for what he did.
Acting not out of ego, but as an advocate for the audience.
Absolutely not.
Where were you sitting?
I was in row R, and so I could see. I could not see whose phone it was.
The phone was in the front row.
The phone was very much in front of where I was.
You were able to hear it.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, because it started during a very, very quiet part.
And the poor guy, apparently, as reported by the Times today, he was a 20-year subscriber to the Philharmonic. He had just gotten this iPhone. He didn't,
I feel great sympathy.
He turned it off before the show, and then its alarm is what went off, and he didn't know that a turned-off brand-new iPhone would go off with an alarm function that he never even set, because that's how he happened to receive it.
And I feel great sympathy. It was a hideous incident. But when I wrote what I wrote, I did not vilify the phone owner. I merely supported Alan Gilbert. I actually have sympathy for this, because a friend of mine got a new iPhone for Christmas. And then for days afterwards, a little alarm went off at 6 o'clock every morning. Beep, beep, to tell him that he was on vacation.
Right. So this guy, apparently, this is why it went on for so long. The gentleman didn't even recognize this as his phone.
Right.
So no one
Which
was making an effort.
Which seems a little difficult, you know, if it's in your pocket. If it's right in your pocket, surely you must be looking around going, oh, gosh, that's – but
– So we're going to take phone calls from people who have ever sat through any kind of interrupted performance. Have you ever seen this before in all your classical concert-going experience?
Not something like this. I understand Kurt Mazur once halted a performance for coughing, and I was actually at a voice recital of a soprano who shall remain nameless, who came out after intermission brandishing a roll of cough drops because people had been, a very famous soprano, people had been coughing too much for her taste, and so she came out and chastised us all and said she had cough drops here if anybody needed them.
And some reaction to this story has been that classical music lovers are too fastidious, But here's an example from Broadway. Patti LuPone famously stopped mid-song in Gypsy one night because of a photographer in this case. And she got applause. I never heard that clip before just now.
I have sympathy for that, too, because I also had a small stage career before I went into radio. And I remember being on stage during a really, really intense scene. And somebody in the second row started unwrapping a candy. That wouldn't be you, Brian, now, would it?
Oh, no. I wouldn't have a phone with a marimba alarm that I wasn't aware of going on.
Sounds different without the Mahler behind it.
Maybe we can do a mix before the end of the show. That's one of our producers having a little fun. Peter in Jersey City.
Hi. Twice in Chicago in the late 1970s, performances of Schubert's Winterreise were interrupted. This is one of the most solemn song cycles there is.
Yes.
One time, Håkon Haukegaard, who was near the beginning of his career, interrupted himself after the third song and told someone in the back of the hall to sit down and stop moving around. Mm. And at Mandel Hall on the University of Chicago campus, the doors were closed so that latecomers would not be seated, and Hermann Prey was singing Winterreise, and suddenly there was banging on the door. Bang, bang, bang. Of someone who got there late and was not let in.
And they stopped?
Eventually, Prey did not stop. Haukegaard interrupted himself to tell the guy to sit down.
Peter, thank you very much.
I have sympathy. Winterreise is a great song cycle, so I have great sympathy with that.
Well, we go from audience malfunction to William in Newark's story, which I think is a little different. Hi, William.
Hello.
What performance?
Evita. I was in the Broadway company of Evita in its last year, and Ava's bedroom set, which was supposed to essentially descend from upstage to downstage, the crew, you know, something got messed up, and they couldn't do it. So the show stopped. The stage manager came out and said, "I'm sorry, we're having technical difficulties." And a few minutes later, they resolved it, and the show resumed.
There you go.
My understanding, Les Mis had a number of such stops. And also there's a famous story of Ethel Merman, who was being heckled, and she's holding this long note. She's holding it and holding it. She comes downstage. She goes into the audience. She pretty much picks up the guy out of the seat, throws him out of the theater, walks back upstage, and finishes the note.
Fabulous story. William, thank you very much. So we have audience malfunction. We have stage malfunction. My story is of musician malfunction. I once saw the jazz flutist Herbie Mann, and a few seconds into one of the songs, he stopped the band. He turned to the audience. He said, "If it isn't right, it isn't music," and turned back to the band and started them again. Now, I don't know what was wrong. I certainly didn't notice whatever they were doing wrong. But I would guess that for a jazz performer, if the rhythm wasn't right, if the changes weren't right, he wasn't going to have the foundation that he was expecting to improvise on. But whatever it was, he embarrassed his band members and said, "If it isn't music, it isn't right."
I've seen people start things over again. And I personally, also in performance, have started things over again. If it's not right, you want to make it right. But there was no cell phone involved.
Cecilia in Manhattan, what's your story, real quick?
Yes, hi. I'm an actress, and I was doing a show in Columbus, Ohio. And at the critical moment in the play, a very emotional moment, I was dressed in practically nothing, as was my co-star. There was a scream from the house and the sound of a body dropping. I am also happened to be a registered nurse, so I stood up and said, "House lights." The house lights came up. I jumped off the stage. I said, "Call 911. I know CPR." I began doing CPR on the man. The emergency services came. About 30 minutes later, I suddenly looked down at myself as they took the man away. He was still alive, and realized I had on a very very scanty little robe, crawled back on the stage and resumed the play to great applause at the end, needless to say.
After that long an interruption.
Yeah.
How about that?
Everybody held. It was just, you know, it was live drama going on the stage and off.
Good for you. And that's actually the most common call that we're getting, is somebody had a heart attack in the audience, and so the show stopped, and then the show resumed, and we don't have to dwell on each of those. All right, we have 20 seconds left in the show. Judith and Sands Point, tell us your most concise version.
Well, I was performing as a soloist in a college concert junior year, and I had to take somebody else's solo as well, learn it overnight, and when I was supposed to come in, I was a full measure late, but I did sing it all the way through it. For the second verse, the conductor made sure I got this right entrance, and afterwards, the whole place was all over me with not having stopped the show.
And we have to stop the show because we're out of time. But there's the opposite story, I guess, the show that didn't stop that shouldn't have. Listen to Naomi Lewin's show on WQXR, Classical Music Radio Station.
And you can chime in on our website as to what you think about what Alan Gilbert did.